I received a call from Ed Kubicki, and he will probably be late, as he said that he was going to the Zarletti event, and that it was quite crowded, and he thought he would be late. So, second order of business, citizen comments, if any?
Terry?
Yes.
Chairman Rose, Vice Chairman Frederick, Supervisors, Professional Staff, my name is Don Gillespie. I'm here as the President of the Kemper Center. I have with me our Treasurer, Tom Orndorff. I understand that the pier on the Kemper campus is on the agenda this evening and has been discussed by the Public Works Committee already. The Kemper Board and Management is of the opinion that the pier, while used frequently for photo opportunities, when you consider the extensive cost of repairs that it's going to need now, and understand that those repairs will be required again in 25 years, that there are many more significant needs in the Kemper campus, and that maybe the best solution would be to think about removal and replacing it with a lookout deck or something that doesn't overhang the water and require so much expense to repair. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Don. Further citizen comments? Further citizen comments? All right, seeing none, then we'll proceed to the next item of business. Are there any reports from the committee? I have none.
Mr. Chairman, I sent an email to everyone. I would like to bring up the issue of usage of vehicles, but if you permit, I'd rather bring it up under any other business. Do we have it under any other business? I guess we don't.
Probably this would be the best time to do that, as typically this is a section where one can talk about what you want to talk about. I don't see any other categories.
I'll be brief, as it's not on the agenda, and as such, I think it should be placed on an upcoming agenda. All of you received the email from the sheriff responding to the Mr. Anonymous letter. I don't know who got that letter in terms of county supervisor. And I had responded back to the sheriff with a couple of questions, and you saw his response, which prompted me to send that out to everybody. I think there's some issues with that policy that need to be taken a look at. It was brought up to the Judiciary and Law Committee, I believe, last night, and at the end of the day, there is, according to Chairman Esposito, who I talked to again today, that he is intending to have some further conversations about it. I don't know that there was much resolution. I'm not sure how it was agended last night or how it was discussed, because it was on their agenda initially, but there's a problem here. If it isn't a specific issue or a direct issue, it is clearly an issue, a perception, a problem of perception that needs to be talked about and needs to be addressed. We can't say to the taxpayers that we have county employees using county vehicles to go to a second job under any circumstance. It simply doesn't look right. We have argued over every dollar amount for every issue on this county board the last year plus. Well, multiple years, 4 or 5 years, and every single time there's a question, it comes back to, in these tough times, we can't do that to the taxpayers. Yet we're going to say that it's okay for the taxpayers to pay to someone for someone to go to another job. And I get the fact that these are sworn personnel who are required to respond in a case of emergency at all hours of the day and night. But then you have to reconcile for me how it is you can go to a second job and not have a commitment there. Right, and most of these second jobs are security. They're not begging groceries somewhere. It's security. So when there's an issue of security at the second place of employment that they're addressing, are they going to say, I got to go now? I need some understanding of how all of that works before I'm going to let this issue drop. And I got that response, quite honestly, from the sheriff, something other than the response he gave me on two occasions. Maybe it'd be a done issue now, but clearly he has no interest in doing anything other than saying it's his authorization. which I question, does he have it? And that just isn't right. He did talk about the accident that happened with APCR. I don't know his official title. My understanding is it happened while he was at his second place of employment, or on the way there, or whatever the case might be. If, in fact, that's true, not only was the taxpayers paying to get him there, providing a vehicle, paying the fuel, paying the wear and tear, but paid to repair a vehicle that was smashed up on another job. We have other employees in Kenosha County who take their personal vehicle and go to the doctor or wherever else they go. County executive is probably a perfect example of that. And he reimburses the county at 55 cents a mile under the policy that we have. Same thing that happens in the private sector. I understand, and I wouldn't question it if we're talking about the particular individuals we are that are at the grocery store, right? So they're on call. I understand it. But we're not talking about running everyday errands that people have to do. We're talking about committing to another place of employment. The two just don't come together. You can't be committed to both. So I think this policy needs to be looked at. If it isn't going to make its way through judiciary and law, at least the way I'd like to see it make its way through, I'm not saying it isn't, I just don't know that at this point, then I'd like to see this committee take it up and review that policy and understand whether or not it's something that we want to keep in place the way it currently is.
Right, John, thank you. And if the committee wants to discuss this, we can put it on the agenda. I don't think we can discuss it without having it on the agenda. The only thing I would point out, and I've asked Al to research and pull up that policy, and perhaps you could circulate that by email. I do know there is a policy that we did adopt, because I recall being on the board talking about it a number of years ago on the Finance Committee, and what is being done is clearly consistent with that policy. If you want to change the policy, that's certainly the board's prerogative. But nothing is being done, I believe, which is inconsistent with the policy. And I said,
I've read the policy. I'm not convinced that it is within the policy, unless you interpret it one way or the other.
My view on the matter is, if there's data that needs to be reviewed, if there's a look into the policy and so forth, that's all fine and well. But as far as this committee goes, it's my preference that judiciary and law should be looking into it first. They should be basically be doing the groundwork, the fieldwork, if you will. And if it wants to be an agenda item for this committee and have judiciary and law chairman present, that's fine. But that would be my preference. I would not want to see this committee go off on a investigative foray without judiciary and law being part and parcel of it, and having committee chairman be present during any of these discussions.
What was the result of the meeting last night? You say it was discussed last night. What was the result?
I don't know specifically that there was any action taken other than to hear the, I don't know who made the presentation. Was anyone here? Were you at the meeting last night? Maybe you could ask
what was the result?
Chief Deputy.
Mr. Chairman, there was no result. It was just open discussion. For discussion under other business, and every supervisor.
All right.
Chance to talk about things.
Well, if the committee would allow me, I would talk to the chair of the Judiciary and Law and see what his thoughts are, and we can put it on the agenda. I'm certainly willing to put anything on the agenda at the request of any supervisor. I'm not going to prohibit that, and if you want that agenda, I'll certainly put it on the agenda for the next meeting if you request.
I would ask to be on the agenda for this reason. My conversation with the chairman of Judiciary and Law today was, I'll try to quote him accurately, but assume it's a paraphrase. I don't like it either, but I don't know where to go with it from here. So if that's the case, then I know where I'd like to go with it from here, and that is to review the policy and determine definitively whether we believe there needs to be a change. And if that isn't going to happen in judiciary law, then certainly I'm open to having it happen here in finance.
If I understand it right, I know that in the fire department, or the battalion chiefs will take their car home, but I think I tend to agree with what you're saying, that fact that is, if I'm home and then I go to a part-time job, I shouldn't take that vehicle and go to that part-time job. But then they're saying, well, I should have the vehicle with me all the time when I'm anywhere I'm at. Is that, it still, there's a lot of unanswered questions, you know, so I agree with you. I think we got to look at it and see what it, you know, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like he goes to a part-time job, and then if he gets a call, he's going to, like you said, he's going to tell the employer, well, I'm going, I got a call. Well, maybe he's got that understanding. But the fact is, are they taking a grocery shop when they're home, or are they using the car for their own personal use, other than leaving it set when they go back to work, or unless they get an emergency call? That's the question, right? I mean, am I right?
Right.
And I don't think that, if that's the case, I don't think that they should be taking the vehicle to do their personal business either, okay? Whether it be a part-time job or whatever.
All right, well, let me just touch base with Supervisor Esposito as a matter of protocol, and we'll either talk about it individually as committees or perhaps jointly with his committee, but why don't we just leave it at that for the time being. And, I'll call him tomorrow. Anything else from any other supervisor? We do have a new Youth and Governance Committee member. I'm sorry I haven't met you before, but what?
I'm Patrick.
Patrick?
Mm-hmm. Kenny.
Perhaps you don't know everybody, but why don't we just go around the room and introduce ourselves. I'm Terry Rose, Second District Supervisor. Bill?
Bill Grady, First District Supervisor, Youth and Governance Mentor for this committee.
Yeah.
Oh, Al Swartz, Budget Director for the county.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Mark Bonnero. I represent the 15th District in the Summers of the county.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. Welcome. I'm Bob Riedel, I'm the Personnel Director.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Ben Yu.
Aaron Comeyer, I'm the 13th Supervisor District.
Nice
supervisor.
Rod Frederick, 11th District, that's Central City.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you, and you two know each other, I assume.
We've met each other.
Just yourself. All right, very good. Anybody else from the committee have anything, any other reports? Seeing none, then we'll go on to the next item of business, number five, the approval of the minutes. Have you had a chance to review them? And if so,
second.
Is there a motion to approve with a second? Discussion on that? Seeing none, I think the motion was Supervisor Molinaro, seconded by Supervisor. Any further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And we'll go on then to item number six. Let me introduce to you Violet Ricker, who is the new Downtown Kenosha Main Street Program Director. And she's been on the job now for a couple of months, I believe, but she can introduce her job and what she intends to do. And I thought that you'd like to meet her, and I know that she's very enthusiastic about her work. We, of course, are participating in CABA annually with the contribution and have been for a long time, and she is working under the auspices at their office. So, Violet, why don't you join us at the chair and make a presentation.
Sure. Well, good evening. Thank you so much for the invitation to be here tonight. And I'd like to begin by thanking the county for your continued support of the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. I've been really impressed just getting started here with how well all the funding entities have worked together to bring this position about. The fact that we have the support of the city, of the county, of the Kenosha Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau, as well as, of course, Kenosha Area Business Alliance, has just been really great. And so what I've been doing to get started is I've been meeting with all the downtown property and business owners and talking to them about what's in the Downtown Strategic Development Plan. And so I'm sure you're all really familiar with that plan, but in August we'll be doing a one-year assessment and update of where we are in the plan. And so I'd invite you all to that. As soon as we set a date, I'll be sending out invitations to you. But today I just wanted to give you a short introduction of what I've been doing, how I've been getting started, and how I intend to get some reports to all of you guys. So there are some notes here as far as organization and structure. Downtown Kenosha is going to be incorporated as a separate 501c3. The Lakeshore Business Improvement District will continue to exist and give parts of their funds to the Downtown Kenosha program. So we'll be creating our own board of directors, our own articles of incorporation, bylaws, determining that district, and establishing representatives for that board of directors. And that's all in progress right now. We're also working to set those priorities. And as a Main Street community, which Kenosha has just been designated, we're part of a network of over 2,000 Main Street programs in the United States. That's excellent for a lot of reasons. We're able to draw on those resources from a lot of communities and use their best practices, follow types of events that they've seen work. And then we also receive a lot of assistance from Wisconsin Main Street, both in terms of design assistance, funding partnering. They also come in and help us write one of the most important parts of what the program will be doing, which is work plans. There are four committees, which are listed on the second page in your handout there, four committees that all Main Street programs have. They are design, organization, promotion, and economic restructuring. So Wisconsin Main Street comes to work with us to write a work plan for each of those committees. So one of the other things I've been doing initially is recruiting volunteers to serve on those committees, and I have over 70 new people interested in working with us, which has just been an overwhelming response to see how much community support there is for what we're trying to do downtown. Those are college students, downtown residents, downtown business owners, people from across the community who are really interested in our work. And I think another important point to really emphasize is that downtown is the neighborhood that belongs to everybody. I joke around in my volunteer info sessions that in most of your neighborhoods, if I bought a coffee and sat out on your sidewalk, that wouldn't really be appropriate. But in downtown, we do encourage you to do that. We want everyone to feel comfortable there. So it's something that constituents in all of your districts and all of the districts within the city of Kenosha are invited to be a part of this process. And so we're drawing on volunteers from and opinions from across the county there and across the city. So in forming these committees, I'll just briefly let you know what each of their work plans will entail. The design committee really focuses on the look of the street. They're the ones that pay attention to the streetscape, and a lot of those are recommendations from that Lakota plan about how we can do more to implement complete streets, how we can work on a facade restoration program, which the design committee will oversee, how we can pay attention to accessibility, public art. It's everything from the hanging baskets to the banners to trash cans, benches, everything that's the look of that street. And we really want to keep that historic character that's unique to Kenosha alive. So the second one is the organization committee. That one works on fundraising and volunteer recruitment, which is really important because then we don't get caught in that trap of being a nonprofit that is constantly fundraising, and we actually have people working on the mission of what we're doing simultaneously as well. So then the promotion committee works with our existing businesses to grow the customer base. That's really important that we bring more and more people downtown to improve the perception of the neighborhood and to get new customers shopping in those stores. And lastly, the economic restructuring committee focuses on business retention and recruitment. So keeping our existing businesses open by working with SBDC, WIBIC, and a number of other partners. And then recruiting new businesses to fill in those storefronts and eventually those larger buildings that we have downtown. So that's the basics of the committees that we'll be doing. Each of those will have a work plan with specific projects that we'll be writing this fall, will be approved by the board of directors, and then we'll begin implementing. So that's the basic outline of what we're doing. A huge amount of my time right now has been spent talking with business owners and potential volunteers, kind of organizing everyone together. And eventually we will be a self-sustaining organization and able to do fundraising, but we appreciate the ability to get started immediately jumping in and working on these work plans and to really prove the value. So the last section I have kind of noted on here is as far as reporting goes. It may look a little excessive, but there's a number of different constituencies that we talk to. Right now, people ask me who I work for, and I'm employed by CABA, but I feel like I work for the downtown business owners first and foremost. And so I'll be doing a monthly update for them to tell them what we're doing. I want to make sure that they're happy, that they see their customer base increasing, and that they see those storefronts getting filled in next to them. I'll also be doing what I'll call an outcomes report that I'll be happy to give to the county board and any other committees that you think are relevant that will really showcase what the impact is this program has. So that'll be showing storefronts that have been activated, new jobs that have been created, what that impact is on sales tax revenue and over a longer time property tax property values. So if you have any questions at this time, I'm happy to answer any for you. We will have a lot more information going forward. And if anybody's interested in being involved, I would, of course, invite you to join any of our committees. We're actually doing one more volunteer info session tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at Shar's Cafe if anybody wants to hear a much longer version of what all of those committees do. But I'm happy to answer any questions you have. Yes?
Right. Just out of curiosity, you're going to form a 501c3.
That's correct.
Is that going to have a separate financial structure?
Yes, it will. We are working through Kenosha Area Business Alliance currently, but ultimately that will be separate.
Bill?
This kind of follows up on that, Violet. On the second page, you have the Main Street approach. And it says 4 points, and those will actually be four separate committees, if I understand correctly.
That's correct, and that's not something we came up with. That's standard for all Main Street programs across the country. So Right. Those were the four committees, all downtown Main Street programs.
Then, as Supervisor alluded to, the 501c3 will be its own separate entity, if I understand that correctly.
That's correct.
With the board of directors, with all the entire things go along.
That's correct. And we have had a couple of initial meetings already to start setting those up, and we've had Dave Gerstein and Marty Laycock present for those to talk about who the county representatives could potentially be.
For timelines on either of these, both of these, 501c3 and the Main Street committees, where are we at in that process? Do you have target dates in terms of having these things set up? And just kind of brief us on that.
Sure. We're pretty close to being able to submit our 501c3 application. Right now, the process of creating the bylaws, determining what the actual boundaries of the district will be, and writing the mission statement. We've got drafts of all of those, and so we've been circulating those currently among the bid board. So they've been kind of my sounding board for that. And then we'll have probably one more get-together with all of the funding partners to review those one more time. But they should be submitted within the next, I'd say, 30 days or so. And so hopefully that turnaround process will be relatively quick to get those in. The committees, as far as those go, we'd like to start doing the work plans in August and September. So those committees, I already have great bases for all of those. I have at least 10 or 15 people for each committee, and then a number of people who are just able to volunteer for specific projects. But those committees will have their first meetings in August. They'll have their real work plans really probably written in September and start doing some work, but we'll have our first get-togethers in August, and we have a great base that we're working for.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Sure.
Further discussion, questions? Anybody?
Good luck.
Thank you.
You're going to need it.
Well, it's a team sport here, and I really appreciate the support of the county. My cards are on all of your papers there. I would certainly encourage any of you to stop by my office, give me a phone call, drop me an email. Any ideas that you have for downtown, I would really love to hear them. It's also been really exciting to hear people's experiences and memories of downtown. I've loved collecting those. And so a couple of the cool things that we're adding to the website are ways to live downtown, how to open a business downtown, and so to really get people excited about all of that. So as soon as those pages are all loaded, I'll send you all an email and tell you to check it out. But there's a lot of really wonderful things happening, and I look forward to keeping you posted.
Thank you very much.
Great, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll move on then to the next item of business, and that is the Tabor Resolution to approve the Consolidated Kenosha County Revolving Loan Fund Program.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Last month in June, I came before the committee and presented a new CKC Revolving Loan Fund Manual. At that time, I had mentioned to the committee that the Wisconsin Department of Economic Development had undergone a HUD audit back in the fourth quarter of 2012. And as a result of that audit, the grantees from the old Department of Commerce had to go through and update their revolving loan fund manuals. And that was specifically to address some low to moderate income items that were missing from all grantees' original manuals, as well as some anti-piracy language. And I also took the opportunity at that time to go ahead and make some changes based on what had been 20 years ago versus today. So I made some changes. We didn't have a finance board. We actually have a committee. So I made those grammar changes and made sure that the manual is reflective of what we're doing from a documentation standpoint as well. And at the conclusion of that meeting, I think it was determined that I needed to have a resolution brought before this committee for approval prior to taking it to the full board for their approval. So I'd be happy to answer any follow-up questions anybody has in regards to that manual. If there are any specific questions or...
Is there anything that we should focus our attention here on which is substantially different or... is something that we ought to focus our attention on?
The substantial changes were on what's page 9. That's at the bottom where it's talking about low to moderate income benefits. The section there for A, B, C, and D, that's all new language that HUD required to be in the manual that was not previously in the manual.
All right. We discussed that, I recall, last meeting.
Yes, yes. And there were, I think, were a few questions in regards to the reporting along those lines. And I think some of the supervisors were questioning whether it could or could not be done. And This was just language that HUD had required to be in there. So we don't have a choice that had to be inserted. And then I think the other major item was on page 16 at the very bottom, which was item 9. And that's just that a requirement within the loan documents that we use as borrower, that they certify that they're going to maintain compliance with anti-piracy regulations, which are in regards to moving jobs from one labor market area to another. And I had mentioned at that time that because Kenosha is in the Chicago, Joliet, Naperville labor market, it doesn't really have a big impact on us, because anybody moving from like Illinois to Wisconsin, it would not be from like a different labor market up to here. We're within that labor market, so it doesn't really apply to us. And then, like I had said, I've made some grammar changes. I've updated it for committee names and things like that. And I just took the opportunity at this time to make those changes.
Thank you, Dick. Yes, Bill?
You mentioned about the labor market. Where do Racine and Milwaukee counties fall in today?
They don't. Kenosha is the only Wisconsin county that actually falls within that labor market. And I think there is either one or two on the Indiana side that fall in that labor market as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mark?
A similar question, but are we only in that labor market? I know that we don't overlap, so we're not in multiple labor markets.
That is a Bureau of Labor Statistics designation, and that actually is language that's in the Federal Register that says that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, or that department, whatever their definition of a labor market is across the board for all labor markets.
And another point that I realize we there's no need to belabor it because it's language that's required, is this on page 9 that you referenced, the Illinois benefit. I'm assuming you have your counsel that's the same.
What's that, Mark?
I'm asking if they have legal counsel.
Oh, okay.
This is just a manual, so it's not a contract or a legal document. This is what would be attached as an exhibit to the original Kenosha County contract. And this is just a guideline as to how we're supposed to manage the revolving loan.
Well, we all sort of questioned this language last time on some level. And I guess the only thing to say is only a federal agency could.
I could maybe
could insert it and get away with it.
I could maybe ask our attorney to take a quick look.
And I don't know that I'm asking you to do that necessarily, Rich. It just it seems silly, and it seems not exposure proof, exposure full. But again, only a federal agency would put something like this in. I don't think the county would ever get into a scenario like that because the exposure is just ridiculous. All right, that's all I have. Thank you. Appreciate you bringing it back.
Further discussion or questions?
You want a motion?
If there's no further discussion, yes.
I move to move.
Second.
Who is the second? Mark?
Right. Second.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for coming.
So then, aye. Will this be at the Tuesday meeting next
yes.
week at 7:30? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you both. All right, moving on then to human services. Is this something you're going to change?
No.
Who's going?
Fran,
are you on this? It says request a change for a purpose for two capital items, but it didn't indicate further. All right, go ahead.
We had the repairs we had to make to leaky pipes. We had a broken circulation pipe, and the water was flowing out, and so we had to make those repairs. And so I'm requesting that we can pay for those repairs with money from, we had Four Wing sprinkler system. We had $22,575, and use that money to pay for the repairs of the pipes. Then the second one is our AltoSham, which is a cooking device. It's like a big oven that is absolutely necessary to cook our meals. Well, it's broken and can no longer be repaired, so we would like to repurpose the money from the washer and dryer that we had in the budget so that we can purchase a new AltoSham.
This just requires the committee's approval, correct?
Correct.
Discussion on this?
When did you start? The laundry is being done out already?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else? Any other, Mark?
Yeah, you're saying in here that the four-wing sprinkler system repair project will be incorporated into the budgeted capital outlay for the fire suppression system upgrade. We're estimating the allocation for the system upgrade to be sufficient to cover four-wing sprinkler system repair project. Will be incorporated into the budgeted capital outlay. Is that money is in 2013 already or
yes.
something? It is.
Yeah.
So when does that project start? Do we know?
They are getting bids on it right now, I think.
Are we, this is a,
No, actually, they've selected somebody for it, and they're just getting it scheduled. What happened on that, as far as I can tell, is we had two items budgeted for what I can figure out is the same exact project, which was our four-winged sprinklers, which are also leaking.
Okay. Approval.
If we approve it tonight, then they're taking bids, and if they're under the they won't be coming back then?
Right.
Yeah. A second.
Supervisor Molinaro, second by Supervisor Kohlmeyer. Motion to approve. Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. All right, the next item is the financing general obligation promissory notes, and Mike Kerrigan is here to present that. Mike.
Al, did you want to make any comments before we start?
No.
Okay, well, good to see everyone again. For those that don't know me, I'm Mike Kerrigan, the financial advisor with Ellers & Associates, that serves the county and works with the finance department in preparation of the capital planning and borrowing when that is necessary. What's before you this evening is sort of the second part of a two-step process that you began last November. The county board adopted initial resolutions for the borrowing of $9,765,000 in capital needs. This is predominantly highway work and some other various capital project assorted items that are in your 2013 budget. And so it is that time of year when we'll be looking to go to market with this through a competitive sale of the county's general obligation notes. So this issue has been structured with the longer-term financing in mind of the county. I would direct your attention to page 4 of the document that I passed out. And it's on that page that we have this current issue, which is the column furthest to the left, 2013 issue. You'll see that adds up to $9,765,000 in total. Future potential borrowings through 2017 are indicated here. And of course, these will be reviewed annually by the county finance committee and by the county board, but it's part of the longer-term plan for needs to be addressed. You adopted initial resolutions this past November and had adopted initial resolutions prior to that and still had remaining authority associated with them. So we didn't ask you to adopt a resolution for more than what you would need now to just use up that prior authority and then to fill out what would be needed for this $9,765,000. So the resolution tonight just simply sets the sale, which would occur at your meeting in August, August 20th, I believe, would be the sale of the notes. And we would be looking to go through the usual process, including the bond rating process with the county's debt. We'd be making a regular full presentation to Moody's and Standard & Poor's for that. A good deal of what you have in front of you here, for example, pages 5, 6, and 7, detail the projected impacts of the borrowing on the county's tax rate for debt. For example, on page 5, just to refresh everybody on how that is set up, we've got the existing principal and interest payments on all outstanding debt in the first column. So, for example, for 2013, the amount is $14,893,000 of principal and interest. We then have the current proposed borrowing, which is the $9,765,000, which would be paid for between 2014 and 2023 as structured. We have some offsetting rebates from the Build America bonds that were issued previously by the county. And the net amount of the levy is the amount that has to actually go on the tax roll. Dividing that by the projected tax base, we get the tax rate per thousand. Just by point of reference, I will point out that this methodology has been reviewed annually. One of the things that's interesting is, of course, the fluctuation in value of the county's tax base. And that value has had some decline associated with it over the past few years. With that in mind, we are continuing to project some further decline in value all the way out through 2017, and then holding it flat and then only increasing the value by about 1% thereafter. But if you have a more positive result than that which is projected, obviously will have a beneficial impact on the tax rate. Conversely, if it goes the other way, the rates will be a little higher than what we're projecting here. That also impacts your debt capacity, and so we've been looking at that and monitoring going forward. On page 6, we have your future borrowing plan incorporated along with the current borrowing. And this is the plan that the Finance Committee has always had an interest in kind of keeping an eye on, because it projects things all the way out through the year 2021. And one of the things that I wanted to mention that's been going on with the municipal bond market over the course of especially the recent past is that we've seen a pretty significant increase in interest rates. Some of you that follow the market are probably aware of what's going on here, but I would direct your attention perhaps to the last couple of pages of this document where you can see some graphs. The next to the last page, this shows what's happened with municipal rates over the course of the past year, the next to the last page. And what you'll see there, there's a low point there where you saw the rates last mid-December got to a stage where they were the lowest in the year. Interestingly, that was not just the lowest in the year, that was the lowest in the last 40 years. And so what's happened since then is that they've come up, and then in the last couple of weeks they really had gone up fairly markedly. The good news, if there's any good news, is that in our planning, we've kept the estimated interest rate at a pretty high level. In fact, the interest rate we were using on an average was, this is the interest rate on the 20-year bond. We're only using 10-year bonds, and we had been using a 4.25% interest rate. So we're probably still a little under what our estimates were, even with this more recent rise in interest rates. But I want to make you aware that that's the direction the market's been moving.
You adjust this projection based on where things are at right now?
I haven't adjusted it yet, only because in future years we've been hedged a little higher. We have bumped it up to 4.5% in the out years. So what we're going to do is keep our eye on what's going on here, and then if we see significant further movement, then we will be making an adjustment upward. But things have stabilized this past week a little bit, so I'm not making any changes at this point. Brings up another kind of, maybe this is a good point to talk about this as a sidebar comment. One of the things that we always do when we go through this exercise is we try to take a look at all the debt that the county has outstanding to see whether or not there's anything out there that can be refinanced for savings. And one of the things that we really had targeted was an opportunity, because some of you have heard about this federal government sequestration process where the government is coming in and affecting all programs. One of the programs that was affected was your rebates on your Build America bonds. We're going to be reduced by 8.7%. Well, that has the effect. One of the things that you included in your resolutions when you adopted that, I don't know if you remember this, but you had included the provision that allowed you to refinance those ahead of the call date if the government ever did what they just did. And so then it becomes a question of, is it going to be cost effective? And we'd run an analysis on that, and in fact, up until about 2 weeks ago, it would have been very cost effective to have made that change. You can't do it until you actually got shorted, and you weren't going to be shorted until June 1. So we just had that happen. But one of the things that we are we had discussed with Dave...
Shorted, but then you mean the rebate.
Your rebate was reduced. Yes, your rebate was reduced. And so one of the ideas that we had talked with Dave Gertson about, and something that we would like to, with the committee's permission, bring back at your August meeting, is a form of resolution. We call it a parameters resolution that says, essentially gives the county board the opportunity to say, okay, if we get to a market point where there is an opportunity for savings, and you define what that number is as to what savings you're willing to accept, that or more as a minimum, you'd give the authority to the county executive and the staff to execute a competitive sale in advance of even a county board meeting, as long as the parameters were met. On your direction. We've done this with a number of clients, and that gives you the opportunity to take advantage of these market fluctuations to realize the savings in advance of it happening. So I just throw that out there at this point and give you a chance to think about it. We'd like to bring something like that back for your consideration at your August meeting, if that makes some sense.
We have done a number of refinances over the years. All, I think, or certainly most of them on your recommendation. But I don't know that we've done one in a similar fashion that you just described, which gives you the ability.
Yeah, we did one. We had a situation. This is only something that we recommend when the market is a little more volatile.
Well, that's where I was going with it. Certainly, whether we've done one or not, I think, from my standpoint, I'd like to see something come back to this committee, because I believe with potential volatility that we're seeing right now, and I'm assuming we're going to see a little bit more before it stabilizes to what it's been, if at all. I'd like to have that opportunity to take advantage of some savings if they're there.
Yeah, and that's what we thought you might have an interest in seeing. So that, you know, if it's the pleasure of the committee, we would be bringing that back at the August meeting, and you can act, and then the county board could act.
Sure.
You take a look at that. I still, that's why I included the last chart on this document, because if you compare where we are now with the 40-year history, I mean, even though we've gone up a lot, we're still in pretty good shape. I mean, overall, in terms of these interest rates.
It's all relative. It's still all pretty cheap money.
Yeah, it is.
We've been resensitized on this.
We're spoiled is another way to put it, with those kinds of numbers.
Rod?
With what the Feds are doing right now with the bonds, right? They're not buying them up. Is it something we should do as fast as possible, what you're suggesting?
Well, we would want you to act on that as soon as you can, and that's why we wanted to bring it back. We didn't want to spring this on you. We wanted to bring it out here tonight, and then if there was receptivity here, we'll bring it at your very next meeting.
Because obviously they're going to start going up.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it at my bank account.
What you're referring to, Ron, you're referring to the fact that the Federal Reserve has been buying these bonds, and in order to keep interest rates sort of artificially low for quite a while. They haven't actually stopped that yet, but they have sent some signals that their intention is to do so toward the end of the year. And so the markets are anticipating this already and starting to build it into a little bit of the market.
But if you're anticipating it in what you're borrowing this time, you've got it at 4.25, so you're anticipating the interest that when we borrow this money, interest is going to be higher than it has been, right?
Higher than what it has been, yes.
Yeah. But it looks like quite a bit higher. But have we been getting it before?
Yeah, we're planning for it at a higher level, though. So
what,
I mean,
like the last bond issue we did, what was the interest rate on that one, I guess?
Oh, we were in there about the two.
Yeah, now you're talking 4.25.
Ten,
yeah.
Something like that.
Now you're talking 4.25, so that.
Yeah, well, I'm still hoping we'll be under four, but we'll see.
Okay.
But this is really not different in terms of the meat of the analysis. This is virtually the same stuff that you saw last November, because there hasn't been any change in your valuations yet. Those numbers come out in August, so we're using the same data there. And as I said, the interest rates that we had used then were high, and we just kept them at that same level. So that's kind of where we are. The county executive had the staff make some changes in the dollar amount, Al, of the borrowings have been reduced because of the equalized value dropping. So, you know, we're still a little above where we would otherwise be if those values had not, had in terms of the debt burden being a little higher than where we would otherwise be if those numbers hadn't dropped, but so as not to exacerbate it. There was some reduction in these projects that'll have to be monitored going forward, so that if you see the opportunity for catch up, you can do that when the property values start to turn around.
Would you recommend that we have a special meeting before next county board to consider this proposed resolution, as opposed to waiting until next month?
The county, you still need the county. Would the county board be willing to? To have a special? I mean, that's the
I'm talking about having a finance committee special meeting and then bringing it to that. The meeting is this Tuesday, right?
We could actually, if you would be comfortable, we could bring it.
So we could
Tuesday
have a meeting at
6:30
and sure. The county board is at 7:30.
Sure, we could do that.
Why don't we do that? If you have a proposal, or you will draft it.
We've got a form for that.
And you could put that on the agenda if it wasn't passed, but just pull it.
I agree.
Yeah, we can do
that. Is
that
agreeable?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sure.
So 6:30 Tuesday, projected 7:30 presentation.
Do we run the risk at all? Well, let me ask this question. The shortage that we are seeing on our Build America Bond rebates, due to this sequestration, do we recoup that money?
No.
No. So there isn't any risk in us bailing out of this stuff right now, refinancing everything, because it's not eligible to see back anyways.
No, the way we look at this is that it really... you would look at this on a purely mathematical basis. Are you going to save any money by doing this or not in relationship to the amount that you would have had to pay had you gotten A, either the full rebate, or B, the reduced amount? And
when I get that, and that's exactly my question, because if, in fact, that money gets made up at some point in time, then we've got to put that number into the equation
that's not
as well. But if it isn't, then...
You know. Put it this way. I can't tell you that that wouldn't... I mean, we'd take an act of Congress to get them to do that, so I'm not looking... that's likely.
Okay.
Not nothing like that happening.
If anything, there may be, in my view, there's a greater likelihood that there could be further reductions rather than coming back and providing makeup of dollars.
Thank you.
Bill?
In anticipation of us authorizing the ability to move to benefit the county in some of these peaks and valleys, just give us a historical perspective. What's the general basis point spread between where we're at now with our bonding, doing a refinance? How many basis points is you going to like to see before you consider doing a refi?
Well, on a typical refinancing, particularly if it's an advanced refinancing, this would be a current one. We recommend, and you have adopted your own policy that says that you should save at least an amount equal to not less than 2% of the principal being refunded. That's the standard that you've got. This is a different situation, though. What you're really looking at here is and this is my thinking now, you're really looking at an opportunity to avoid further reductions of payments by the federal government. It would be my thinking that if you can realize even a break-even situation.
Oh, because this is a special circumstance. This is almost like a preemptive type move.
Correct.
Rather than just taking advantage of market rate fluctuation.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm thinking is that, if sequestration had never happened, you know what you'd be getting, and you'd get the rebate, and you'd have a defined amount of payments. If by refinancing it, and when I talk about these things, I always look at it net of costs. So in other words, you shouldn't have to pay more for the process of doing it. All of this should be net of costs. So if the net of cost to you is at least equal to what you would have had you gotten your full reimbursement, then I think if for no other reason than you've gotten away from being subject to potential future reductions in the future, you're ahead.
And you're speaking about the sequestration process. So my question goes more to the point of, in a quote, more and more normal situation, we're not looking at sequestration. What is our general feeling as far as your interpretation goes? If we are going to refinance more normal circumstances, what type of differential between what we're paying and what we could conceivably pay less in interest? What do you like to see?
Well, like I said, the 2%.
2%. Right.
Yeah, the 2% savings is what we would recommend as minimum.
That's my question.
Further discussion?
Would this resolution that we bring next Tuesday be a one-time resolution, or is this something that's...
It would be targeted to specific issues. Yeah.
Specific issues, but it could be beyond just the one we're talking about. Are you saying specific issues?
We're going to do what we've done. What we are doing is we're looking at all your issues, and we're targeting and identifying the ones that are either close to or definitely show right now.
So it will be a limited scope.
Yes, we'll be a limited scope. Yep.
And that's advisable that we.
Yes.
My question is, do we look for something that's a little bit more broad based?
I think you ought to retain the control.
You know me. I suspect that's right.
When this resolution is brought forth, if it's not a part of the original resolution, I'd lobby and make the point that it should have some type of sunset on it. You know, if you want to make it 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever you want to do, I want to see some type of a...
Yeah. Usually we make them 6 months.
A question on your chart, page six here. The equalized value work. Showing very little growth until quite a number of years from now. Where are those figures from?
Those are extrapolations based upon recent historic data. You have had reductions in your equalized value on a fairly constant basis over the last 4 years. And so in looking at that and in discussing at this point, then, we've got that backdrop, a little bit of that background information. But then it's a matter of discussing with the staff here to get a feel for what is perceived as happening in your market. And right now, keep in mind, these are always kind of a year behind anyway. So the next time values come out is... The values always come out on the 15th of August. And those numbers pertain to the 1st of January, whatever the data, whatever had occurred as of January 1st in that calendar year. And that means it's really the prior construction year or prior valuation year. So we won't know until the 15th of August in 2013 what really happened in all of 2012. So in 2012, what we are seeing in much of the state, frankly, is still some continuing reduction on average. There's exceptions to that, but there is still some declining that's going on. The question is how much and how long will it continue? So we've ratcheted this. We actually have increased from where we have done, where we have been in the past. We are at a higher level of reduction. We're showing more decline than we've shown in the past, simply because we don't want to overestimate, you know, the benefit on the benefit side. What will happen in terms of these values? If anything, we're hoping that you'll see better growth. You probably will see better growth, but until that begins to show itself, mm-hmm. we're not reflecting it in the numbers.
I see. Further discussion?
Move to approve.
Right, there's a proposal to approve the
bond
resolution.
Sergeant.
The second one by Supervisor Molinaro. General obligation promissory notes, $9,765,000. Further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Passes, and thank you, Mike, and you'll be here.
I'll be here. I will be at 6:30. That other stuff.
All right.
There's four copies to sign.
All right.
And whatever he has, you'll have on the agenda for
there are three people.
You'll so have to have it right now. You've got to get the stuff from him right now.
Oh. All right.
Come on, man. You said you really bad number 101.
All right, the next item, John Rudy, the Parks Director, the discussion of the Kemper Pier.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess we're here to discuss the removal of the Kemper Pier. I'll give you a little history. When the pier was put in, that was in the early 80s, I want to say around 1982. I didn't look up to be exact, but what's been going on down there with the railings that are on the pier is that they are hollow aluminum, and all the parts are aluminum except for the steel set screws. The lake throws ice up onto the pier and would take out those railings every winter. So they've been removed in November and put back up every April now for the last 30-some years. So each of those steel set screws has been going in and out of an aluminum hole in the spacer blocks 70 times or more. And being how things were back in the day, we found out that the railings were obsolete the day the county bought them. They were the very end of a line that was discontinued. We were only able to get replacement parts for the railings for about 3 years. We've got along here, and I want to say it's been probably close to 15 years ago I started asking for new railings, knowing that we could not get parts and that something would have to be done in the future. But at the same time, we also noticed that the underside of the pier, the steel structure itself, which is an epoxy paint, was flaked off, and there are some support members missing. So when I got an estimate to replace the railings, now this is probably 12 years old, and probably a 10-year-old estimate to repaint the steel structure underneath, the railings were $110,000. And the painting was $80,000. And I could understand the railings, but I couldn't the painting. But apparently, it has to be sandblasted, and none of that paint or sand can go into the lake. So the whole underside of that pier would have to be draped with some kind of material to catch that. I guess that's what makes the price so expensive. The pier itself, the deck, is structurally sound. But at this point, it's almost equal as to whether the money that's going to have to go into it to restore it and the money that it's going to cost to remove it. I know you're thinking, as well, it's $200,000 for the railings and painting. Those aren't updated figures. I did not have someone come out and update that. But at the same time, when you look right behind the pier, there used to be a seawall there, which is gone. So the seawall will have to be put back in if the pier is restored. So you're probably looking, I would estimate somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000 to do it correctly, to restore the pier. And I don't know what kind of railings could take those ice floes getting thrown up against them. I'd be hesitant to say there is such a thing, other than solid I-beams or something. But anyways, we're going to be back in the same situation where our crew removes the railings in November and puts them back up, and they wear out, and we're back in the same situation. So anyways, what happened was, is Frank Valmontesta in 2011 received an email from a citizen that said, I was out on the pier, and he said, somebody's going to go through those railings. He said, you walk up to them and you wiggle them, and they're loose. And so Ray Arbert at the time called me in there, and I said, Ray, we've had that in the CIP for a number of years now to do this. And when we looked at the figures and saw where it was, we recommended at the time that we move towards removal, and that was put into the CIP. For 2012, it was entered into the five-year CIP. What brought it to a head this year was the fact that I don't dare put those railings back up because of how worn out they are. Somebody's going to go through them. We've made, my guys, unbeknownst to me, were taking the wore-out aluminum blocks out and cutting 2x2 wood blocks and driving them in between the joints to try and hold it together. So at this point, I guess we're just looking at the decision to remove the pier or restore it. I know Public Works recommended removal.
Right.
I had a call from, I'm sure, I think you did too. The woman called me, she lived down in your district, and she said, well, I don't know if you're in my district or not. I said, well, it doesn't matter. If you have a problem, I'll do what I can. She said that there are some handicapped people that were down there, and they wanted to go out there and look at the lake. And I said, well, I came down. I went down to Kemper, and I looked at it. And what you have is actually a water level that's down probably a foot and a half what it used to be. So when you look at the edge, you see rocks about this far underwater, about 8 or 10 feet out. So there's nowhere you can fish off. I mean, you can't fish off. That's what it was there, put there for originally. There's no way you can fish off. As far as going out on there, it's scary going out on there. The railings weren't up, but you go out there and you just feel like, anybody that, I'm getting a little bit up in age, and you don't feel comfortable walking out there without a railing, obviously. But even with a railing, I wouldn't feel comfortable walking out there. The pillars are rusted, the ones that you're talking about, the cost of repainting. So if we're talking $200,000 or $300,000, she said that they wanted to go down there and look out over the lake. And, we could put a ramp on land, and they could go on the ramp and look out over the lake. You can look out over the lake if you just go down by any one of the parks. So it's really, the reason there was a fishing pier. You're not going to fish off that pier anymore. It's not going to happen. Even if you caught one, you couldn't bring it in because of the rocks and stuff, the depth of the water. So I think it's a no-brainer myself.
Originally, that was handicapped.
Wasn't it financed
through some grant money because of...
Right, it was walk-on money. That we did talk with the DNR in 2011 because they were the ones that we get stewardship funding through for that pier. And the city put in handicapped access with this harbor reconstruction where you can actually get out and fish out there. So they thought, well, it's provided now, and they were in agreement that it could be removed.
So there's not some grant money available to...
To repair it?
Repair.
I don't believe so. Once, no.
Are these handicapped people fully aware of that South Pier access for handicapped for fishing in that?
Are people aware of it?
Aware of it, yeah.
I don't know.
I know it's out there, and
the DNR knows it's there, but I don't believe the general public probably all has knowledge of that.
Maybe if we can get that word out there somehow to alleviate the calls to wanting to fix this place, which is obviously in disrepair.
You're asking about the ones downtown. I think you answered about Kimberly.
Well, I think what he was mentioning was the reconstruction of the harbor where they made access on the south pier for right, wheelchairs.
And then way out, you can see spots that are bumped out with the railing where you could fish off
of there. So, okay.
Bill?
When is it scheduled for demo? Is it in CIP for demo?
2016, right now.
So your proposal is just to shut it down until then, or is the proposal to do that more quickly?
No, not to do it quickly, just to leave it shut and remove it in 2016.
So this is more of a report?
Yes. Well, but like I said, this whole thing came up when I didn't put the railings back up, mm-hmm. because I just don't dare. I don't want to expose the county to that kind of liability.
Yeah, well, I think some of us got phone calls or letters as well on this particular mm-hmm. point. Mark?
It was a few years back that we discussed, and you may have been part of those conversations, Jim, the changes that have occurred along that shoreline by Kemper, and some belief by those who know much more about bodies of water and breakwaters and flow and everything else than we do, that the marina and the installation and all that took place downtown here is significantly modified the veracity by which the Kemper grounds get hammered with waves and everything else. So what was a good, and it's clear that things have changed over there. Certainly the water is way down. But to be discussing the potential to rebuild this pier, which it doesn't sound like there's much enthusiasm for doing that, clearly given the way things have changed over there with that water. I think it would be an absolute waste of money. But more importantly, I have my reservations about leaving that current pier until 2016 to remove it. What are the estimates for pulling it out?
About 350.
I just think you're talking, unless there is a way to significantly and thoroughly barricade that access off from getting on that bridge, I think we're exposing ourselves to an issue 3 years from now that we're just hoping and praying that nobody gets out there and falls off that damn thing. So I think you need to look for a way to move that up.
On your subject of the access, when I went there, obviously there was just that it says stay or keep off, but I think in the meantime, I was going to suggest that you put something out there so you have to, you can't walk out there because it's not safe. I mean, I don't know, right now it just gets just close to traffic. I walked around and I got on the pier. And, you know, so you're still liable if that thing isn't somehow closed off more secure than it is now. I mean, that's my suggestion. Okay.
That's just not the right location for it. I think we need to do something.
Along those lines, isn't there talk of extending some of the bike path right-of-way to connect Anderson Arts to the north?
Yeah, there's a bike path slated to go in there this year.
So basically that would go by the area we're talking about. It would have.
Yes.
Okay, so if we're talking now increased access that the public is going to have via bike path, this makes us perhaps more time-sensitive. We've talked about in the past. When is that slated to?
This fall.
This fall. So I think, Mr. Chairman, instead of looking at 3 years as being a time frame where not a lot of activity, there's going to be increased activity down there due to that bike path construction. Mm-hmm. So, Supervisor Molinari, your point may be more timely than ever.
So if we did it this year, where would the money come from?
I don't have the money for it. I don't have anything in the CIP to cover that this year. I mean, I can secure it as best I can. I mean, the kids can go down around on those rocks and climb up. And it's, mm-hmm. I can
but even like I say, I was able to just walk around and jump mm-hmm. on the pier.
Right.
Know?
Well, I can go out to where you can't reach it anymore and probably set like those cement traffic barriers with signs again at that point so they can't ride a bike out there. But, you know, to try and tell them, I don't know. you know, if people want to get on something,
yeah, they're going to get on.
You know, you do the best you can.
Well, that's the other point, is you don't want to create an eyesore out there for the next 3 years to look at on the Kemper ground. So my suggestion would be that we understand, certainly the message needs to be sent back to the Facilities Committee, that we'd like to see something happen sooner than later. If there's dollars available somewhere this year with that we can reallocate surplus or something when we get to that point, we'll keep this on the radar as something we can do. I would imagine that can be taken on any time of the year.
I would think so.
So that would be my recommendation, but certainly put the message back to the Facilities Committee that, you know, we think this should be moved up on the agenda. It needs to be secured. And I certainly don't want to see concrete barriers sitting out there in the Kemper parking lots and keep off for 3 years.
Yeah, well, I meant out on the pier, Mark, where at the point where you can't climb up on it anymore.
Right.
So that...
Can you get some more specific figures and then this estimate? And then maybe we could prioritize some other project and do this instead of that?
Estimates
on the removal.
On removal, I have that.
Oh, you do? Is that 350? Is that...
Or this... This is 2011. I can hand this out.
Okay. So,
I was prepared. This itself, too, is a 2011 estimate that I got from R.A. Smith when I was asked to look into this. So it comes to, right now, $320,600. That was in 2011 dollars.
So, how deep do those beams go? They obviously drove them in, right?
Yeah,
they're deep.
They're drilled deep.
Yeah.
Well, when we look this late, what they're planning on doing is they would just cut them off.
Yeah.
And run the seawall over them.
Okay.
John, have you estimated this observation deck cost? So you remove it, and then you put the observation deck. What's that going to cost?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
You remove the current pier, and then you installed this observation deck that was being discussed. What kind of cost is that?
That I don't know. When the walkway is put back in, that's not calculated in on this. That would basically be a pretty much a cement patio up on top of the portion coming up to the edge of the rocks.
Is that a $10,000 item, a $50,000 item?
Well, I don't think it'd be 10. Ten's probably a pretty good estimate for a nice pad and a few benches. I would say that's pretty sufficient.
Well, what would you like to do on this? Do you want to have staff see if there's some other project that they come back to the next committee meeting here, and we could say, do you want to do this instead of that?
Well, as I said a minute ago,
nothing,
I think the message needs to go back to the Facilities Committee that we're in agreement with their position to demo the pier.
Yeah.
Not in agreement that we wait 3 years, and that we should collectively begin to look with staff as well as the facilities team is begin to look for other funding alternatives with the intention of getting this pier done as early as we can. Further, we need to do take some extra steps to secure that pier from access.
If you want to do it this year, at the same time the bike path, then they need to promptly bring a few projects to us. We need to analyze that and decide you want to do this instead of that. So I would say that's a finance committee issue as well. So.
Sure. Yes. I agree.
If that's what you want to do. Bill.
Do we have signage there that says the pier is closed?
This is closed.
Okay. What type of signage is it? Is it very prominent? How many of them? What's the deal?
There's a signage gate on each side of the usual.
I'm getting about 4 feet squares.
Yeah, they're good size.
Okay.
Red, ink, and white.
Okay.
Can't miss it.
All right, is that what would you like to do?
I'm in agreement. You want a motion to that? I'll make a motion.
Sure.
All right. I make a motion that we get bring this issue back to the Finance Committee with some input from staff on some potential funding sources.
So,
another question.
Yeah. Yes.
You want to include the Facilities Committee that we're doing? Because I don't want to step on their toes, you know.
I don't think the financing issue is stepping on anybody's toes.
No, but I mean as far as going ahead and doing something, the Facilities Committee should be aware, I think.
Yeah, they said they wanted it demolished, though. Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah.
You know, they already
the court to decide you want to spend the money now or not.
I think Chairman Rose can certainly make Chairman Elverman aware of the situation.
Okay.
And go from there with it. Yeah, I agree.
I don't have sufficient money in projects right now that aren't already in the process to switch the money. The roof projects at Kemper is almost completed, and the only other project I have, or two, is a stream bank repair at Petrifying Springs that the permits are out for. That was $50,000 in that. And then I had a $100,000 lift station replacement at Brightondale. So, I mean, and then the $125,000 for the bike path. So I don't have $350,000 even in a project I haven't started yet.
I'm smelling sequester, Mr. Chairman. No, I'm kidding.
And you're talking 2013, but
yes. Walter
in 2013.
Okay.
2014.
Remember Walter Rutkowski? Yes. He said you could take it out of the old moldy sock. That's what he used to
say. There you go. Yeah, I find it in the fat.
Well, just get it out of the old moldy sack, he'd say.
I don't know that we're advocating we need to have an answer tonight.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think we should start looking.
I remember him, but he was
with you. I think you have your instructions, so we can talk about the specifics. Obviously, it will be a priority issue, and it doesn't necessarily have to come from his budget either. So
maybe a 2014 budgetary consideration this November is what it.
Well, yeah, that's another option as well. But if you want to do it now, it's got to come from someplace else, and that's a priorities issue. I suppose it would be nicer to do it now if you're going to put the bike path in, though, right?
Yeah. But again, too, we could do it. It could possibly be done early next spring in the 2014 budget, too.
Mm-hmm.
But when the ground still froze,
realistic.
The dump trucks wouldn't do damage. And
be done in January.
You'd have to supervise that job
estimate
what
as well,
you know,
right?
On site.
Updated estimate as well.
Yeah. This one, this is, I could ask, ask R.A. Smith to bring this one right up to snuff to today's prices.
Because right. We don't know if this is going to get inflated with 10, 15, 5%.
It would be less these days.
We put it out to bid. We got a pier, remove it. I don't know what the $42,000 in engineering costs.
Yeah, I was wondering what that
for.
Is. What is $42,000
for? Yeah. Business.
You're tearing it down. You're not building it.
Engineer tearing out a bridge for $42,000.
That's reverse
smash
engineering.
That's a
big deal. I mean, this probably doesn't come up very often, does it? I mean,
yeah,
it depends on how likely it is.
Christmas fun.
All right, the motion is then, Dave will bring this back with some suggestions or some items that more money could be used. It is a matter of priority, so if you want to do it now, something else has to be pushed to one side. Anyone else on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. So we'll have that on the next agenda. And John, do you want to be here then for that, if you would?
What day of the week would the August meeting be?
It'll be on a Thursday. It's the third Thursday.
The third?
No.
No, no.
In between the first and second county board meetings of Thursday.
I'm going to be out of town the 5th.
No, it's so 16th.
So after that, then I could.
You'll be back.
Then I could be.
Yeah, the 16th?
Yeah. Something, I don't have my calendar.
Oh, I got it.
Don, you may want to come. Why don't we give him the exact date so he can...
Put it August 15th.
August 15th, okay.
Yeah, I can make that easy.
Right.
You agree with that?
I'll really challenge you.
All right, very good.
I'm in trouble finding it.
Oh, there he is.
All right, we'll take that up to the next meeting.
Read on the bubble.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
All right, the audit of the bills is circulating here, and now we're going to the various reports. Finance Director, Budget Manager, Al.
You have no reports?
Yeah.
Nothing new on general fund balance?
Next month I'll do my first general fund report, typically after the summer, and we'll get past the year to start summer.
All right. Personnel Manager.
The only thing I wanted to offer the opportunity to answer any questions you have on the Affordable Care Act and the delay by the federal government of its implementation. I can speak for all of us in administration and know that we were very happy about that. The Affordable Care Act has been delayed by 1 year. There are some things we still have to do by October 1st, but the good news is we don't have to start measuring hours worked for the purpose of determining full-time benefits for our employees until October of this year, as opposed to October of last year. So I just thought I'd throw it out there in case anybody had any questions. It does make our processes more normal, more routine, more what you're used to, and it'll be next year that we'll be doing the heavy lifting on ACA.
So when I reported at the last meeting on behalf of the committee that there would be $450,000 to $600,000 in the 14 budget that due to that, that's not going to be there.
Well, it's not completely wiped clean because we still have to pay the two taxes which are associated with Bill. One is for PCORI, and the other is to supplement the exchanges for those who access their health care on the exchanges, and those are two taxes that we will still have to pay.
How much?
So it will be less, it will be about $100,000 top end, I think.
They're still taking.
They're still taking
taxes.
Their money, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No. We just don't have to comply.
So maybe I should report that to the board then.
Let me get you an accurate number.
Okay.
Then.
All right.
I'll have that for you next week.
Okay.
Before the board.
All right. Very good. Anything else? Bob?
No, that's all. Thank you.
All right. Any questions of either the budget director or the personnel director?
No.
All right. Any other reports here, Al, that we have listed? Public Works, Human Services, Treasury.
We have the Register of Deeds report. We have the budget modification. You have a budget modification there. And
all right. For any questions on the Register of Deeds report? Seeing none, we'll go on to the budget modification.
That's just a standard budget modification.
Do we have an updated agenda?
What is the budget modification?
That's just a standard. If we have any budget modifications, we just bring them there along with the bills.
Or you're not asking us to act on it.
No,
you're
just saying
this is it. Would like to see it. Okay, all right. Okay.
Slip that one in there.
Is there anything here that
standard? It's just one.
We're not tearing down, constructing, or buying. Yeah, something big.
Engineering.
Second mobile command unit.
Oh, no.
I see you're here.
Hey, there's some peer money. Did we order that?
Good. Grace was cut it down, tore down two peers for that.
That's right. That's right. Okay. I'll pass this around if you want to take a look.
Question to the chair to budget We have our bond rating meetings each August, is that correct?
Not each August. Last year we went to, I believe it was in June.
Okay.
This year we're going in July. Previous years we went later in the year.
Okay. So we actually physically attend each of these meetings as a county as opposed to some other methodology, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So we did do one time, we did a video conference with the rating agency.
Okay. So we're scheduled to do that, yes, this month, is that correct?
Right. Early the 31st of this month. I'm scheduled to go to Chicago for the Moody's and Standard.
Okay.
All right, that concludes the business agenda. Is there anything else to come before the committee?
Point of information, okay. Our next meeting will be when? Just prior to the county board meeting?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, so this coming Tuesday, 6:30 here in this room?
Yes, I assume everybody will be able to attend.
Youth and government doesn't need to go into that.
No, but you're certainly welcome to come.
I will not be able to attend. All right. I'm going to camp, but...
It's not a
one item thing. But we discussed with
16.
All right, so we'll meet on Tuesday at 6:30. We'll meet on the 15th of August at 6:30 as well. Any other further business comments?
No.
Seeing none, somebody want to move to adjourn?
Second.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, we are adjourned.
Curious about something you'd like to discuss, point of interest on how the committee procedure works. It could be this committee specifically, it could be any of the other committees.
It'd be in the morning.
Something that's an agenda item, something as you look through the literature, you say, you know, I have a question. So I think it's good just to be forward thinking and to have at least, you know, if it's only one is fine, but just something you're actually involved with the process. Speak up, ask a question, ask a comment. It can be addressed to the committee in general. It can be addressed to one of the speakers who will be presenting their own items.
So
think about that.
You don't expect any.
And this is not
something. No, so we're open to discussion.
Right, you're open to discussion. And it's not something you have to sit there and feel like, oh my goodness, what am I going to ask them? And it's not like homework, like I have to do a bunch of research. No, it's not that. It's just basically, I want you to feel as though you are our peers. You're sitting at this table, you represent the youth faction of this county as much as I represent the people that live in my district. So if you have a particular thought, comment, question, please, I'd like to make it kind of a standing thing. We have at least one comment or question. If you have questions about it, you're saying, well, geez, I don't know what to say. You know, either call me on the phone or email me. I can always give you tips and pointers, but I think that probably didn't get to this point to be youth and government candidates and members by the students who are sitting in the back of the classroom, you know, you're up front and involved, and you're on committees and clubs, all that kind of stuff. I didn't want to make you feel like, you know, right tonight you have to do it. Questions or comments on this?
No, I wasn't really sure when to bring something up. But
yeah, and that's your discretion. You know, if you have a question of when you should bring it up or whatever.
But I'm talking about in those
interested in letting you know. But I think a good place to start is just looking at your agenda, look on here. Then you go through the information that's provided to you. If you look through it enough, I mean, there's enough wording in here and so forth that, you know, when I remember taking study courses, they said each paragraph you see from studying for a test has one or two potential questions. So, I mean, you can look at this and say, okay, well, I see this as for this, but
yeah, this declines.
What about
this?
Yeah,
this
is what I'm saying. All righty. I think that's it.
All righty, thank you.
See you next month. If you want to come to the meeting, you know, on Tuesday you can, but it's going to be one of those really quick and loud things.
Yeah, I sort of like 45 minutes.
Forget about it.
Inner city is getting bigger and sloppier and crummier. I mean, when have you seen dresses on that? You'd have to reach far back in
the car. Is there still vacant properties coming out?
Yes.
Okay, it's not. Yes. It's, you know.
And they're not sure out there.
Some are dead.
Yeah.
But your daughter bought a beautiful house. It's a year and a half.
She's renting or selling? Or rent? Bought it? Delivered?
Yes.
It's still a stone front, brick signs, attached double car garage. Looks to me like around 1820.
Right off the 74 on the Third Avenue,
79.
Goodbye. See you on Tuesday.
All right, good. Oh, yes. That's not a real big house.
No.